Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello and welcome back to the Business Abundance Podcast. I am here with Ian and Rowan, and today we're going to be digging into probably one of the most valuable and underestimated assets in your business, which is customer retention. We all know it's generally cheaper to keep a customer than find a new one. But today we want to go beyond the loyalty cards and the birthday discounts and talk about some different strategies that we can, that you might not have considered before. Ian, do you want to chat about why customer retention actually deserves effort?
I think you summed it up pretty well there, Z. The cost of not doing it, obviously, is bums on seats. So not looking after your customer and not retaining your customer is equivalent of corporate suicide, in my opinion. So why not make every customer interaction amazing so that you keep them? Perfect example is the small mum and dad shop around the corner from me, which I'm drinking a coffee from at this minute, just recently implemented their little stamp card. Every 5 coffees, get a free coffee. I'd been there a handful of times in the last year. I'm on my second stamp card for the last 2 months now.
Yep.
Something as simple as that and I don't just buy a coffee when I go in. I'll probably buy a snack or something as well.
Do you go there because you get a stamp card though?
I think in this case, I've chosen there for my coffee more regularly over the last 2 months than I would have.
Because of the stamp card?
Because of the stamp card.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But Zara and I both got the frowny surprise with each other.
I know.
But if it was terrible coffee, you're not going to go back.
Oh, 100%. No, it's good coffee, don't get me wrong.
Do you like the people there?
They support the community, so yes.
Yep.
Like the ethos.
So is it the card that's getting you there, or is it?
Initially, it wasn't the card that got me there. It was the fact that they sponsored a local event that my wife's involved with.
Yep.
I popped in, said g'day, how you going? Had a coffee, good coffee. And then they brought out the stamp card. I'm like, guess I'm getting coffee here now.
You're right.
Convenient or out of your way?
Oh, it's reasonably convenient. If I'm heading into town, it's out of the way. But if I'm just popping out for a coffee, it's the closest one to me. So that obviously helps.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the stamp card's got that gamification, I suppose, a little bit, which a lot of businesses will use for customer retention in one way, shape or form. It's cheap. I mean, the markup on coffee is probably not the same as if you're just out there doing retail. Markup on coffee is quite big, so you can afford to give one away every 5. But again, the add-on sales, you're in a supermarket type, like a mini mart type place. If your merchandising's on point, you're probably going to get me to buy a packet of gum or something for my kids or whatever it is. Something's going to catch my eye while I'm waiting for the coffee.
It's interesting. When I hear you talking about this, I've got to remind myself that people think differently. Like, I hate it when people give me the stamp cards because I know I'm not going to pull it back out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll keep it and I'll put my wallet because it's respectful. And then, you know, he generally sits there because I don't clean my wallet out very often, nor do I have my wallet on me very often either. But if I get a coffee, I'm not going to pull my stamp card out.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to get a coffee from Happy to Support You, you know, no, you don't give me a free coffee. But that's me. And then hearing from you, so, okay, it's the supporting the community, that's good. The coffee's good, so that's good. But I'm going back because I've got a stamp card. So obviously people do think like that, and that's a very tried and true method throughout the world as well. So
a lot of coffee shops will keep your stamp card on a wall.
It's an interesting
regular.
Yeah, true. It's just an interesting thing. So what you think might be effective, other people might not think it will be effective. And your customers can be made up of quite a variety of people. So sometimes you've got to test and see what works, and it might not work on everyone, but absolutely, it might be part of a larger mixture.
Well, the same reason I shop at Coles, Flybuys.
Yeah, okay.
And same reason I fly with Virgin, my status.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I do the same. Yeah, but they are introducing the like electronic rewards cards now, so you don't actually have to remember them. You just need your mobile phone number.
Mm. Okay. Mm. I do like the automatic ones. We went to a hotel a few months ago, and they just said, "Oh, welcome back, and here's a bottle of wine for being a regular."
Nice.
I was like, "Sweet, cool, yeah I'm coming back here next time."
Mm.
I like the hotel anyway, so if I didn't like the hotel, I wouldn't. But I like the hotel, and they're going to give me free stuff when I'm there without me having to pull my card out or whatever. It's I'm definitely coming back.
A lot of resorts do that. We've been researching Fiji recently, and there's the repeat customer rate, which is quite a large expense, but even they're doing it on a frequent shopper method as a method of customer retention, because there's a lot of competition in the marketplace. So what do you do? What do you do to differentiate yourself and maintain those customers? Because everyone's trying to get your customer. If you've got a large customer network, everyone's going to be trying to take your market share.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Just with your coffee. So how much does your cup of coffee cost?
They're cheap too. They're $5.
$5. So they're making about $3.50 per cup.
Yep.
So then if they're giving you, that means cost is $1.50, and then $1.50, they're giving you a free coffee?
After five, you get a free one.
Yep. So they're losing out on $3.50 margin plus 15. Yep. So it's a cup and a half roughly worth of profit that they're giving away every five cups.
But they're a smaller sort of supermarket, mini market, so their margins and their raw material costs are a little bit higher on, say, supermarket items than they are from the multinationals. Mm-hmm. So if they can get me to buy a couple of packets of chips or something else – with a little bit of extra margin in that.
Yeah. No, where I was going with that was, so that's an example of, you know,
it's not costing them a lot.
They're really selling three cups, not five, roughly, rounding up, making it sound worse than it is, but that's pretty much it. It's not four cups. Whereas the hotel example, so I wouldn't use a card.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care whatsoever. It's not going to change my decision, but then a bottle of wine, which probably costs $20 on a $350 hotel night, is peanuts in the margin.
It's probably a free bottle of wine they got from their supplier anyway.
But then I fully appreciate that.
Yeah.
So that's enough to make me book.
Yep.
So I guess my point is that it doesn't have to be a huge thing. It can be something very tiny or could be very inexpensive compared to what you're doing that actually creates that feeling of being valued in a customer.
Isn't that interesting that it doesn't take world-beating offers to make you feel valued as a customer?
Yeah.
That's how simple it can be, is here's a bottle of plonk.
Yeah.
It might be a really good bottle of wine.
Probably, we'll say it like that, it sounds a bit different, but it's the recognition of, hey, you've been here before, we appreciate you coming. That would have been fine if I just got that note. I've been like, I know, that's great, you know. Like, I don't need them to go, hey, here's a mat, but just a little bit of, hey, we know who's actually coming to our hotel. That's good.
Yeah, it's the same as when I get on a plane and they say, oh, welcome back, Ian. Because they can see your status on your boarding pass. It's like, here's someone who flies with us a lot. We make sure, and they do, they go over and above and make sure that you feel comfortable and from the moment you get to check in all the way to baggage claim.
So there's a lot of businesses deal with sales reps. They'll come in and talk to you for quite a long time, and if you're lucky or unlucky, depending how you look at it.
Yeah.
But Christmas time, you know, a lot of business owners in their office, they'll be surrounded by cartons of beer and bottles of wine and, you know, the standard gift
donuts
for Christmas. Rep comes in, drops off a carton and thank you and see you later and goes to the next place, drops off a carton. That's something people do once a year to touch base. Makes people feel valued. Obviously has some sort of effect because everyone does it.
Mm.
But then also, well, what's the underlying reason that they would be doing that? What's that doing for the business owner they're dropping off the present to?
Well, again, letting them know they care.
Just a connection.
It is. And maybe that sales rep's the fifth generation sales rep and this is just the way we've always done it.
Hmm.
Possibly, yeah.
We had a sales rep when I was working for a heating and cooling company. He'd come in once a week with a big box of donuts for the staff. He was coming in, he'd stop at the local bakery, supporting local again, come in with the donuts. We knew it was his day to come in. Everyone's in the office. Excellent, it's donut day. And then he'd say, what do you need? And he'd just top up the shelves with all the bits and bobs, take our orders, anything extra I can do for you. And widely renowned locally. I think he's retired now, but as one of the better sales reps in that field because he always went above and beyond. I don't know whether it came out of his pocket or not, but yeah, it was. You were always looking forward to the day that he came.
That's interesting.
Yeah, just for donuts. Good donuts.
We used to, in an office I worked in, we used to receive the stationery order and they changed suppliers and then they came with a few chocolates and lollies in the box, the weekly office order.
Yep.
And that locked that supplier of 6 years.
Yeah.
Like it took a fair bit of resistance. It was a new company that was all flash and shiny and pretty exciting and the, no one in the office wanted to change the ordering because they got the lollies and chocolates every week. So that was, something pretty low cost that just made it a bit exciting and a reason to stay with the company. And when you think about it, the person that was doing the ordering wasn't paying the bills.
Mm.
So the price wasn't a factor so much. And the service and the timeliness, it had to be timely, it had to be quality products and all that sort of stuff. But then the lollies pushed it over the edge.
It's not hard to it's not expensive to keep existing customers. It's very risky and expensive to, potentially, to get new customers.
It's not risky to get new customers. It's
time consuming.
If you miss the market, it's an expense.
Mm.
You might spend a lot of money on an advertising campaign and look back at our data podcast. You might not have read the data. Or hang on, this one's for our American listeners. The data.
Well, you can do your maths for a new customer. So what was advertising? How many leads did we get? How many sales did we get? How much time do we spend on the sales? So it's going to be hundreds of dollars per client for most businesses, if not more. You can spend a fair bit to maintain them. Sometimes you don't need to spend anything to maintain them.
Sometimes it's just a phone call.
But, talking about costs, then, if you're a business and your margins are reasonably tight or you don't have a huge profit margin, you've got 100 customers. Like if you drop off 100 cartons of beer, for example, that's a bit of money. Like what are we talking about for 100? It's $5,000. $5,000.
They go up as well.
$8,000. $5,000 to $8,000 per year. And if you think, gee, we don't have a really good margin, then you drop that into 1 month. Are you really going to want to do that?
Especially at Christmas time when you're probably going to have a slow month after it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do those sort of things. Like you can look at creating a little community on Facebook or something, or joining a VIP email list where you get stock updates drops before they actually happen. Or
if I open my email right now, I'll have 20 promotion emails in my Gmail.
Just got to make it better.
Yeah, so let's just unpack that a little bit though. So Z just gave a few different examples with what sounded like one thing, but the exclusive sneak peek or early access, that's a status.
Yep.
So it's not about the sale. It's the fact that that customer we're important. So I'm the first person to know. I know a client that's, I just want to be the first. So when the service comes out, I want to be the first one.
That was my uncle. first of everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you're saying, I want my frequent flyers or whatever. So you skip the queue. It's a bit of a sadist thing, you know.
That's what I'd say. Okay.
No, just teasing. So that's an interesting one. So, okay, well, how can we, if we're going to do something for attention, it doesn't have to have a cost like Z said, but how can we give someone a little bit of status for dealing with us?
Which then makes you feel good.
Yeah.
It's like the AFL grand final. Like if you're on the team of the people that are the team that's in the grand final, you get early access to the tickets. Doesn't mean you have the earliest access to the tickets. You have early access.
Depending on your tier of membership.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a tier one, tier two, or tier three member. Yeah. That's status again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can also build hype within, which is an advertising thing, but we're talking about retention. So the status is important.
But that, I think we've talked about it before, the Maya Angelou, people will forget what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel.
Yep.
Again, that's talking to your limbic brain. So if I'm making you feel good as a purveyor of some product, you're going to remember that.
Yep.
Was it cheap? Don't remember. How did I feel after I bought it? Well, I didn't feel ripped off. or I felt like they went above and beyond. I feel statements as a customer is exactly what you're looking for as a business owner.
Valued. Feel valued.
Yeah, how do they feel?
Creates that like emotional stickiness.
Yeah, and then at every touch point that they have with the business, are we doing our best to retain that customer? Or is there somewhere in the process where the customer walks away and goes, oh, that could have been better. I don't feel so good anymore. We need to be tracking that. And I'm sure people know my feelings about too much data retention, but the data's there. You can see where it's breaking down in the chain generally if you're a small to medium. At what point, especially with websites, at what point are they bouncing?
Oh, that sort of thing, yeah. But change the topic a little bit. The second thing, not change the topic, going back to,
yep.
So Z said a few things in one very concise sentence.
She's good at that.
But she mentioned groups.
Mm.
Yep, Facebook groups.
Yeah, so what's that allowing for people? Or what's that giving them?
Community. A place, like a, what they set?
Tribe. Group?
Yeah, yep. A tribe where people are involved with people like them or have the same common interests and can communicate.
Can lean on them.
Yeah, can discuss things about the product that they've been providing or have easy access to ask questions or troubleshoot things. Like it's just a community where people can, like that's why events have groups so that you can post and build hype and promote really easily. All it takes is one little graphic from Canva and you've got a conversation starting again. So yeah, anything, whether it be on Facebook or WhatsApp. I know a lot of people are using WhatsApp to draw in their customers as well. So yeah, just making sure that you keep the conversation going so that they're front of mind, because as soon as that conversation stops, people like, there's such an attention deficit. So if you're not front of mind, then they're going to forget about you pretty quick.
Yeah, being front of mind is extremely important. I know a good friend of mine, obviously I own an accounting firm, and a good friend of mine got a company set up somewhere else. He's telling me about it, and I need your help with this and this. I'm like, why'd you do that? You'd have to deal with me, but why? He's like, I just actually forgot you did that. He's like, oh, I need to change that back to you. But, you know, it's pretty funny. Like, you know, you think everyone knows what you do, but they've got their own life going on. They've got their sport. They've got the kids or whatever. Like, they just forget what you do.
That's that attention.
But just the groups there, like I just think of a couple of different examples, loosely connected, but gyms, pretty low price point, pretty high competition. People get bored pretty easily. Between the whole, going to the gym's hard work and the, you know, I'm sick of doing the same exercises all the time in the same place, it's very common for people to change. And every time there's a new gym, everyone wants to go try it. So they have a couple of different services and ways to deal with some of these things. But you'd have to see like an 8-week challenge or a 12-week challenge, which you think is a product. It is a product, but it's also customer retention through the groups, because they put you in a group with other people doing the challenge in the gym at the same time. They put you into chat groups. They split you into teams to compete against each other, and they turn into a bit of a game or a bit of a support group, or lots of different things. But then you find that you start getting too attached to the people that are at the gym. So now you're paying the gym because you like the people that are there that are also paying the gym. So they build the community in that way, which is quite an interesting.
The tribalism.
Yeah. Yep. So I think when we talk about the loyalty cards and VIP lists and all that sort of stuff, it's forgetting what the actual process is, but what are we trying to instigate with that person? The second thing I thought of with that was the Taylor Swift concerts.
Oh, don't get me started.
I don't know much about them, to be honest. Oh. But
couldn't get tickets.
There was...
Just saw it, daughter.
Well, you'll know about this then. So there was people, a friend went to one and she made bands.
Friendship bracelets.
Okay, tell us about what the friendship.
Well, Tay-Tay is the master of marketing. She's incredible. And like her music or hate her music. And like
Ian's a Swiftie.
So friendship bands, that's the tribe. These kids and adults.
Adults, I mean new adults.
Lots of people. So they make friendship bands and they share friendship bands. And they've got their name on them, they've got a little saying on them or whatever it is, and you've got this.
And they spend weeks making these bands before the concert.
And they'll have them from, I'm currently pointing at my wrist to my elbow, bands to share with people that go to the concert. They'll meet up outside. While they're in line, they're sharing friendship bands. If they get an opportunity to see one of the family of the Swifts or anyone who's attached to the entourage, they're like, oh, please, come on, share, take my friendship band. And it's just this thing that seems to have grown organically. It started out as Tay-Tay with some friendship bands and her friends, and then all of a sudden the fan base have got hold of it, and now it's the thing. It's everyone shares friendship bands at a Taylor Swift concert, and it's awesome. Like, again, it's a community, it's a tribe of people who all love this singer who's, like it or hate it, she's awesome. Like, at what she does, she is the pinnacle of her.
She's been pretty successful, can't argue that.
Yeah, like, I actually do like some of her songs now because I've had to listen to them on repeat for the last 5 years.
Anyway, so they started a process,
yes,
a suggestion, which created a bit of a community.
Yeah.
And you can say that was community for attention. You could also say it was a value add.
Yeah.
So it's now making the tickets more worthwhile. And then you also mentioned it grew a life of its own as far as the people in that community then started taking that to the next level.
Yeah, and I like to think that it was less intentional than, like, the cynic in me says, oh yeah, this was a brilliant marketing ploy to, they know their demographic, they've done all their research and they've gone, how can we do something that is low cost for these fans that will build a tribe? I choose to believe that it was kind of like accidental brilliance and they weren't so Machiavellian in their process. I think
100% they've gone, what can we do as a value add to build some hype, get people talking, get people involved, like get people invested.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to do it. And it's not like, that's not a negative thing. That's delivering for your customers a good experience.
And low cost.
So customer retention wise, are they more likely to go to the next concert because they had a whole lot of fun before the concert, after the concert, around the concert, 3 weeks before the concert? Probably pretty highly likely. And it's just going back to those couple of points that he flippantly mentioned in one sentence, which is impressive, that I think what's pretty clear is we mentioned, Ian, first of all, hey, customer retention, we can do a discount card. And then Z and I looked at each other like, what? That obviously works. So that's part of the strategy. But then we were talking about, what's the coffee like? What are the people like? What's the experience like for you? It's actually a lot of the things you're doing to deliver value actually results in the customer retention.
Taylor Swift's a perfect example. There's no discounts there.
Yeah.
They're the most expensive tickets in the world. So and they sell out in a heartbeat.
Yep. And the value is very high. People are happy to pay it. But so Z's saying, when she brought that up, that it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah.
It can be free. Yeah. But it's mainly around delivering value and extra value to people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's... I have more ideas.
Excellent.
Like,
good, because that one sentence was lots of ideas.
That was 20 minutes of ideas right there.
When it comes to, so for example, let's say it's a landscaper, they can offer seasonal guides after the work so that they know how their customers can grow their lawn. That, like, is
what
massive.
To do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple maintenance programs. For the seasons, as you said.
How to care for retaining walls, all those sort of things. Like, if you just send out a brochure with a here's how you do that every season, four times a year, people are gonna know who you are and you're going to become a trusted advisor, essentially, because what that one brochure can do is they then get in contact with you and say, actually, I need help. I didn't even recognize that. I haven't checked that in a while. Can you come help me?
Yep.
And there we go.
Well, and the people that are going to do it themselves, they're not clients anyway.
Yep.
I just think it's important to add to that, that some people will go, that's too simple. It's too basic. It's not very often. But you don't have to be complicated. You don't have to be all in every time. Something as simple for a landscaper as saying front of mind as far as, hey, this season you can plant these trees, you need to trim these things and this is how you do it, is enough to make people prompt to go, oh, that's right, that was a good landscape. And my friends got that, you know, because people forget and people like dealing with people they like.
So no like and trust.
Yeah. I prefer to deal with the person that sends me information once a year or once a season rather than the guy that's dropped them something in my letterbox.
It's so easy to personalise now with CRMs as well. So if you've done a job for a over 60s grandmother who's downsizing her garden and you've updated her rose garden, for instance, you've planted the roses and you put a tag on her CRM to say, okay, 6 months from now, those roses are due to be pruned. Here's a personalised call or text message or email or whichever way she prefers to communicate. Hey, it's time to prune your roses. Are you capable of doing that? We're happy to come around and do a maintenance thing. Your retaining wall's 2 years old now. We better have a look at the mortar in there. Whatever we need to do, we can...
Sure, we did a good job on that retaining wall 2 years later.
But you can personalise that follow-up contact yep. so easily now. It's not the 1980s anymore. It's a touch of a button.
Yeah, and if you can't personalise, just do something. Like yeah. just say, hey, it's time to frame things, you know. Like that's better yep. than nothing.
Link it to your website. Have the guides on your website. Have your knowledge base. Build your knowledge base up on your website.
I'm going to throw one out there. I found out about a company that got a lot of market share in a certain industry recently because the buyers were companies, business to business. The people organising the orders were employees and they basically just started dropping around six-packs to those employees every week,
yep.
Which basically meant the head office couldn't control who the orders were going to because everyone on the tools was... wanted to do that because of a six-pack. So price was no longer an issue.
Yes.
And competition or company policy was no longer an issue because of the sheer numbers and people problems that it caused not getting a six-pack. So that's an interesting customer retention.
Yeah.
Cost a bit, but the margins were there. But you're not targeting the actual people you think you would target. You're targeting much lower down the chain. And then just the culture that creates and the mass appreciation for Friday beers within that those businesses outweighed anything and resulted in a fair few new clients.
The Friday barbecue.
And clients that couldn't be taken back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned at the start that with a hotel, like you would have been happy if they just wrote you a note, for example,
yep.
and that wine bottle was just an unexpected surprise. Like that's also not a hard... or expensive way to go about it either, in the sense that, like, let's say someone buys a product off you and there's a small $5 addition that would upgrade that product or complement it. If you just send that 3 or 6 months down the track, just so they know, like, I know there's studies that show that, like, those unexpected surprises actually make a massive difference.
Yeah.
And they're going to remember that because... they weren't expecting and it's just one of those things like, oh, that's really nice. Everyone loves gifts. Well, most people love
dopamine
gifts.
Hit.
Yeah.
Yep.
We went to a cafe on the weekend where we're travelling around and, you know, if we're in the area again, we'll go back. So this is good customer retention in that regards. But we ordered what's food we ordered. You know, I was reasonably fast, was whatever. Cool. Yep. And the food came out and then some more food came out that we didn't order. Oh, just, you know, we'll be shown the kitchen in 45 minutes. I just thought you might want this.
Yep.
And then we had too much food at this point and I'm trying not to eat as much. So that was a bit of a problem, but it was nice. And then we're getting near the end of the meal and then some, I think it was date loaf was what Claire said, told me it was. I thought it was fruit cake, but it was very nice. It was the best cake I've had for a long time. And it just came out near the end of the oh, you're almost done. Oh, here's a little slice of this for you too, you know. And it's, are we going to go back if we're in the area? It's a long way away from your house. But what if we gone back if it was close by? Yeah, definitely. So, you know, that's probably could be go down to wastage for them or maybe they were going to take it home or whatever it was. But and they're doing that for the tables around us as well. But you get that sort of easy giveaway like you mentioned in there, Z. Creates a bit of, one, leave a good review, no-brainer, but much more likely to come back.
Yep. When a business, for example, like everyone makes mistakes, and I think it's pretty, people can assume that when they make a mistake, that customer's not coming back, but that's not necessarily the case because it could actually give you it's a good chance to be transparent, and quite vulnerable in the way that you help fix that problem, which then, builds a better relationship with that customer because they know that you're reliable.
Humanizes the brand.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the mistakes you make, it's how you respond to them.
Yeah. Again, people like dealing with people. So if they, like, they can't...
Quick quote, see.
Thank you. Came up with it myself.
I've seen a graphic. It must be true.
But, yeah, they don't expect perfection. They just want you to be honest, yep, should a mistake be made. And I don't think that a mistake is the end of the world, especially when it comes to customer retention.
Well, if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying anything new.
Well, it depends on the industry. You probably don't want to make mistakes if you're, you know, sending bits out of space or whatever. But
even then, Elon's making plenty of mistakes and blowing up rockets, and he's trying to blow up rockets.
Correct. But I think some people might be able to go, well, we don't want to make mistakes just to retain customers so we can show that we're good at fixing our mistakes, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's how you communicate. So it's being clear to your customers who you are and how you deal with things, because people don't know sometimes unless you tell them. Mm-hmm. Or they experience it. If they don't experience, you need to tell them, and then remind them and continually remind them. But I say to people within our business, and being exact and precise is very important. But I say, look, we have a variety of people, a variety of experiences, and everyone's going to try their best, and everyone's going to, you know, try to get everything right. But if we do get it wrong, we're going to fix it. We're going to make sure it's fixed, and we'll make sure it doesn't happen again. And people with that upfront expectation go, I like that, because other firms would go, we're not going to make mistakes.
Mm.
But that's not true. Sometimes you do make a mistake. And the only difference is the customer never finds out. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? If it's to do with confidentiality, it might be a bad thing or a good thing. But yeah, it could just be there's a mistake made, doesn't get fixed. They just don't tell the client it was a mistake.
Mm.
So the client's missing out on, you know, let's say if it's accounting terms, they could be, you know, missing out on $10,000 worth of tax deductions every year. They never know because they think their accountant's good. And the accountant never said, oh, we actually need to go fix last year because we made a mistake. And I think it's that retention policy is... better communicated up front. Here's how we do things. Here's how we view the world. When we do go wrong, blah.
Transparency. And being real.
Yeah. Clients, then we don't necessarily need the bottle of wine.
Hmm.
We like dealing with you because we trust you.
Yep. So we're looking at building emotional connection, essentially. Like that seems to be the theme across all of the solutions.
The limbic brain we're trying to get past the cognitive and talk to the limbic from a psychology of sales.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It just feels good to shop here.
Mm. Yeah. And you can have the people that walk in, walk out, no problem, get what they want.
Transactional.
Yeah. Whereas you can greet customers by name, or you can write thank you notes for people that have come back on a second visit, or you could do the early drops so that they become involved and feel really valued.
There's something about walking into a store, whether it's your local coffee shop or it's your local hardware store, and they're like, g'day Ian, how you going? It's just something about the staff know you that makes you feel special. Mm. And that's probably going right back to the start of where we started talking, was it makes you feel welcome. It makes you feel special. It's your status.
Yeah. So, yeah, make people emotionally invested.
Mm.
Give them the status. Give them that... priority, make them feel like they're important or they have something, you know.
And from a purely clinical standpoint, take emotion out of it as the person selling the product, it's not that hard to do. Like the brain,
people buy what they want to buy.
People will buy what they want to buy, but also people buy what they didn't know they wanted to buy. There's plenty of times that every single person on this planet has walked out of a shop and gone, why the hell did I buy that? What was I doing? An emotional purchase. And you look at it and go, there's a couple hundred bucks I didn't need to spend. What was I doing? As an emotional purchase.
How's that retaining someone?
It's not retaining someone. That's that buyer's regret. But from a hacking the brain point of view, it's not that hard. It's not that hard to manipulate. It's a very, very nasty word, but manipulate someone to be in a buying mode, which again is not retention, and it's probably not going to retain business. But we see a lot of people use those tactics to.
So what you're saying is that you can do good and you can do bad. So when we're talking about customer retention, we want to emotionally make people feel good in whatever way that is. So some people are just going to want to get a bargain and that makes them feel good. Discount, you know, you got coupons. Some people want to just a bit of status as far as I can skip the queue, I can know early, I can board before everyone else. Some people want to just pat on the back and say,
thanks for shopping.
Hey, Z, welcome back. But then you're saying people can also use those emotional things for the bad way. But I think what we're trying to say is that with customer retention, probably number one is we want to make people feel good and we want to make sure that's well communicated. That's what our goal is.
And if understanding. You're doing that,
then you're probably going to retain most of your customers.
Understanding the psychology of it is of the utmost importance because, yes, you could use that for evil, if you want to call it evil, but understanding how to help your customers feel better about your brand.
Well, it's not. There's no manipulation involved whatsoever. It's people want to feel good. People want to deal with people. They want to buy whatever they want to buy, so we're just trying to make that the best experience possible.
100%. So if we do this, we know this will happen.
Yeah.
Had a bit of an idea when it comes to just the final thought, I guess, when you're not really sure what people would appreciate. So if you're stuck in that situation where you're just not sure, what you could do is, I'm sure there's like 5, maybe 10 customers that you know are regulars and they constantly come back in. You could, for use of a better word, an advisory team where your customers come in a couple of times a year, just tell you what's going well and what's not going well. I mean, that's literally going
to... The customers that deal with you all the time, your best customers know exactly why you're good to deal with and why they keep coming back. Say, hey, why do you love dealing with us? We like this. There you go. Communicate that to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important question in that is, what could we do better?
Yep.
Because the what could we do better is why some customers aren't shopping with you.
Had an interesting conversation yesterday. I answered a phone call I wouldn't normally answer. And anyway, it was a person talking about payments and what was overdue and what was not overdue. And I thought, well, I'm here. I may as well sort that out and put a different hat on. And I said, a bit confused about this. I paid that. Can you tell me? So, okay, well, this one. Yep, okay, you got two outstanding. Oh, yeah, just it's really frustrating with this new business, how it bills. Like, I can't figure it out. I'm like, oh, okay, well, what could we do better? Happy to take on feedback and change anything. Oh, no, nothing really. It just seems like a lot more than what I'm usually get. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I mentioned, so well, just clarify that this one here is from whatever before that was late. This one was here and this one's the one you get every year. So it's just sort of timed to be all at the same time, which would be unusual. Mm. So that's probably why. But it was that communication of... what could we do better? That client's not feeling great. It's their perception is not great. If you ask, what can we do better? And then she's going, oh, yeah, I knew all of that. So there wasn't actually a problem.
No.
She knew everything was right, but she just wanted to grizzle. But that acknowledgement of the grizzle hopefully then helps.
Felt heard.
Yeah, hopefully helps. Whereas if you don't acknowledge that, she's going to continue that feeling until she has a good experience. Yeah, so that might be a positive, it might be a negative, but that acknowledging or asking what can we do better is very, very good.
If you hadn't had that touch point, that could end up 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years, 5 years from now, someone leaving and...
for essentially no difference in a price, no difference in a service.
Yeah. And maybe not saying nice things.
Mm, correct.
For a simple phone call.
Mm.
So we want to leave you, our listeners, with a few questions to reflect on. So we've got, what are you doing to make your customers feel seen or important? What could you do to build a customer journey beyond just a single purchase? And are you creating little moments of surprise that your customers will tell their friends about?
Nice.
I think those are the three reflection points that you can take and action.
And simple.
Very simple.
Yep.
Make it simple.
Have a conversation with your team.
Yeah, otherwise it'll become exhausting.
And just make sure that it has that emotional impact. It's not about what you do. It's the result it gets. So.
Yep. Awesome. All right.
Oh, that's a tagline if ever I've heard one.
We'll wrap it up there. See you, everyone.
Cheers. Bye.